This is Brother Michael A. Smith, a voice for Freemasonry, bringing to you the Short Talk Bulletin, published by the Masonic Service Association of North America every month since 1923. This, the Short Talk Bulletin podcast, is produced in cooperation with the MSA and is made possible with the generous support of a grant from the Grand Lodge AFNAM of Minnesota.
Hi, my name is Matt Gallagher from PracticalFreemasonry.com and past master of Arcana Lodge number 187 in Minneapolis, Minnesota, bringing you volume 99, number 3, March 2020, 10 Signs You're Doing It Wrong. I wrote this article from my site, Practical Freemasonry. After making the rounds at the usual online Masonic haunts, it was published by the Scottish Rite Journal, and now the Short Talk Bulletin. 10 Signs You're Doing It Wrong. You might like to think you're worthy of this Masonic institution, and that you're doing things correctly. Yet, is this really the case? You could have grand in front of every title you've earned in the craft, and yet, your day-to-day fraternal interactions could be poisoning your lodge and brothers. Here are 10 signs that you might be contributing to a downward trajectory in your lodge. 1. You're sitting alone. I, myself, am an introvert. So I understand the appeal of sitting on a distant couch or in a darkened corner and scrolling on my iPhone while the Lodge Brothers are whooping it up some distance away. Introverts often like to remain quiet, or enjoy the company of one or two close friends, as they might simply be overwhelmed and exhausted by interaction. While understandable, this is nonetheless a disservice to you and your brethren. Daniel Coyle, the author of Culture Code, The Secrets of Highly Successful Groups, cites studies which claim that stronger groups sit together. This is an animal instinct. When the pack is together, there is safety, and safety lowers anxiety, thus opening the emotional pores. When a lone wolf is sitting off alone, not only is he in more danger, raising his own anxiety, but the pack too will be concerned for his safety, raising the anxiety level of the pack as a whole. Even if you'd rather scroll through your phone and not talk, signal some effort, such as scooching your chair to within at least 5 feet of the group. 2. You're sitting with the same few guys. Avoid the appearances of cliques and cabals. There will always be some who are more than brothers, their personal friends whose company you enjoy. Yet, don't ignore the other guys, conversing with your own set too deeply or too long. Always remember, the other Masons in the room are your brothers with whom you stand in a close relationship. Unless you talk with others and get to know them, you'll never know when there is a mutual interest you may discover. Remember this byword, your brothers are your business, because we're in the business of brotherhood. 3. You come and go without a handshake. Life is busy, and we don't like interruptions going from A to B. Yet, Freemasonry is supposed to be an interruption to let you pause, breathe, and take stock of who you are. Human touch is important to this process. It's not just the classic greeting or exchange of niceties, though certainly it is all that. A handshake is like an anchor, like someone reaching out and grabbing you, and pulling you out of the rapids of life's river and onto the shore of a safe harbor. 4. You give the old no-look pass. Everyone's done it. You feel a pat on the arm and see a palm out of the corner of your eye. You grab the hand and shake without even breaking the stride of your conversation. The handshake was historical shorthand for I'm not going to kill you right now, and eventually came to signify I'm glad you're here because I trust you. As good times went on to breed weak men, a handshake turned more into, hey, I'm sticking out my hand because here's a thing I guess I have to do. As Masons, we aim for the above middle definition of hospitality. Face your brother, hold out your hand, grip, and look your interlocutor in the eye. Be as kind as you can muster. 5. You go from meeting, to car, to home. If your meetings are so great that it's all you need, then congratulations, and send me your minutes. Yet, I really cannot relate to this. Don't you want to do something else, such as talk? Perhaps go outside for a smoke, and have a drink somewhere up the street, or vent about work, discuss movies, discuss ghosts, discuss movies about ghost hunting? For a lot of us, lodge night is our one night out of the house. Let's live it up a bit and enjoy craft fellowship. 6. You're sitting while a brother is working. Almost every lodge has the three or four guys who do all the work. They do the cooking and the dishes. They're the ones who show up with a truck when someone puts out the signal for help. If you're not that guy, and you can't name the three or four guys in your lodge who are, you've probably already tired them out. They're done, and have moved on. And that is when a lodge starts dying. I'm not saying you have to be one of those guys. But if you're sitting there, and you're hearing the clatter of pots and pans, get up and ask how you can help. 7. You're in the weeds, and you're not asking for help. I admit, it may be kind of fun to curse your lazy brethren and seethe when you have cooked for the lodge and done the dishes. You feel you are up to your knees alone in Masonic chores. At this point, do yourself and everyone else a favor by asking for help. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and the kitchen door shall be opened, and others will be ready to come in and help. 8. There's a brother you're not talking to. My mentor, on the day I met him, told me that your Masonic family is like your actual family. You love them all, but that doesn't mean you will always like them all. If there is a brother who is not talking to you, or to whom you are not speaking, break the ice by talking to that brother on the level, on the plumb, and on the square. Will it work? In some cases not. But this does not absolve you from having to try. 9. You're talking unkindly about a brother who is out of earshot. Gossip is human nature, but it can be very destructive. Even if you do not start with bad intentions, and rationalize that you're being constructive, I caution you to tread lightly. Idle gossip holds the door open, letting in his pals, cliquishness, plotting, and disharmony. And 10. It never hurts. Let me be clear. All of us do all of the above things sometimes. I've done all of them, and I still do some of them. And between writing and publishing this article, I will have done them. No Mason is a perfect Ashler. If this truth hurts, remember a quote attributed to Alexis Carroll, written as if for Masons. Man cannot remake himself without suffering, for he is both the marble and the sculptor. I'm Matt Gallagher for Practical Freemasonry and the Short Talk Bulletin Podcast. Thank you.
This is Brother Michael A. Smith, a voice for Freemasonry. And this has been the Short Talk Bulletin Podcast, produced in cooperation with the Masonic Service Association of North America for the purpose of providing a common stock of vetted Masonic information to all of the constituent lodges of all of the member jurisdictions, and is made possible through a generous grant from the Grand Lodge AFNAM of Minnesota, who have been engaging and inspiring good men who believe in a supreme being to live according to the Masonic tenets of brotherly love, relief, and truth since 1853.